Praise the Lord.
I believe Jesus is coming soon. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11 through 14. Thank the Lord. Thank you for the offering. Thank you for giving. Thank you, Brother Caraway, for giving us privilege to be back with y'all tonight. Romans chapter 13, starting at verse number 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in shambling and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Thought about how that some folks will turn a fan on at night. Just a roar. We do. We found out that we're not the only people that goes in a motel room toting a suitcase in one hand and a window fan in another hand. Because that roar, you get used to it. And it helps seemingly alleviate all the noises around you. And you sleep. But I've been at home when we'd have that fan roaring and the power might go off. And all of a sudden that sound is gone. And what do? We wake up. Because we become accustomed to the noise, then silence actually wakes us up. I want to preach tonight on the thought, awakened by silence. Awakened by silence. I also thought about, I think my daddy was this way. They had a TV, and I've heard of others that they'll get in the recliner and turn the TV on and it'll be blasting and they'll nod off and go to sleep. Be sleeping so good. You think, why they got the thing on? They're asleep. But all of a sudden somebody will walk in the room and turn it off. They'll raise up. They're awakened. Amen. By the silent. Awakened. But the sad thing about it is, while that noise is on, somebody might be beating at the door trying to come in. And they cannot hear what's going on. They cannot hear what's going on out there at the door. And so they continue to knock. They continue to beat on the door. Someone in another room screams and says something, but they don't hear it because their mind has become accustomed to the noise that they're listening to on that. And I thought about this, and maybe you've not heard preaching about this in a long time, so we'll help you out with it. I thought about how that we used to preach against TV. And we had several reasons why we preached against the TV. Amen. One reason was that it was wicked and ungodly programming was on there. Amen. And it wasn't accommodating to the Christian spirit. And it infiltrated the Christian's mind. And so therefore, no. That wasn't the only reason that I preached against TV. Still do. I believe your pastor still does. He'll shout with me tonight. Another reason was the commercials. You might say, well, I'm going to watch something nice, something family-oriented, and it'll be all right. But those commercials, when they come on there and flash that sinful advertisement there, you say, oh, no, everybody turn your head, but it's too late. That spirit has already entered into your house. And I'm talking about there's a sound preeminating in the house, and spiritually you cannot hear what's going on around you because there's too much noise. And another reason I preach against TV is it is the thief of time. I remember, and I've said it before, years ago I heard this song. It was supposed to be a gospel song, and I think the name of it was There's Still Time for Jesus. And it started off, it said, the TV's turned to snow. Now, when I was growing up, it would turn to snow at a certain time. According to what I understand, it never turns to snow anymore. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. In other words, they would stop the program and at a certain time in the morning, about 1 o'clock and 2 in the morning, no more broadcast till the next day, like those AM radio stations, some of them still are. A Star Spangled Banner, you hear it, you know there's nothing but static the rest of the night. And so they said the TV's turned to snow, but there's still time for Jesus.
Come on, amen.
That's a poor testimony that I still got time for Jesus when I've filled my mind and let the thief of time take all of that away from me. I'm building a foundation. And so I come across an article called The Stranger I wanted to share with you tonight. But don't get overwhelmed at me. This message is not all about TV. It's about awakened by silent. Awakened by silent. In other words, I'm going to say it again before I read this article. We get so enveloped in the cares of life and everything that's going on until we cannot hear God's voice saying, go here, go there, reach this one, reach that one. We cannot hear God's voice saying, climb up a little closer, get a little deeper in God, because we got sounds, and TV is not the only sound. But I think you'll appreciate this little story. The man says, and I wish I knew who wrote it. I'd write him and tell him thank you, but it's unknown author according to where I got this. He said, a while ago, my dad, the title of the article's The Stranger. A while ago, my dad met a stranger who was new to our small town. From the beginning, Dad was fascinated with this enchanting newcomer and soon invited him to live with our family. The stranger was quickly accepted and was around from then on. As I grew up, I never questioned his place in my family. In my young mind, he had a special niche. My parents were complementary instructors. Mom taught me good from evil, and Dad taught me to obey. But the stranger, he was our storyteller. He would keep us spellbound for hours on end with adventures, mysteries, and comedies. If I wanted to know anything about politics, history, or science, he always knew the answers about the past, understood the present, and even seemed able to predict the future. He took my family to the first major league ball game. He made me laugh and he made me cry. The stranger never stopped talking, but Dad didn't seem to mind. Sometimes Mom would get up quietly while the rest of us were shushing each other to listen to what he had to say. And she would go to the kitchen for peace and quiet. I wonder now if she ever prayed for the stranger to leave. Dad ruled our household with certain moral convictions. But the stranger never felt obligated to honor them. Profanity, for example, was not allowed in our home, not from us, our friends, or any visitors. Our longtime visitor, however, got away with four-letter words that burned my ears and made my dad squirm and my mother blush. My dad didn't permit the liberal use of alcohol, but the stranger encouraged us to try it on a regular basis. He made cigarettes look cool, cigars manly, and pipes distinguished. He's talking about the stranger that's moved in with them. He talked freely, much too freely, about sex. His comments were sometimes blatant, sometimes suggestive, and generally embarrassing. I know now that my early concepts about relationships were influenced strongly by the stranger. Time after time, he opposed the values of my parents, yet he was seldom rebuked and never asked to leave. More than 50 years have passed since the stranger moved in with our family. He has blended right in and is not nearly as fascinating as he was at first. Still, if you could walk into my parents' den today, you would still find him sitting over in his corner, waiting for someone to listen to him, talk and watch him draw his pictures. His name, we just call him TV. He has a wife now. We call her computer. Their first child is called cell phone. Second child, iPod. Third child, BlackBerry. Fourth child, iPad. Somebody tell me who the fifth child will be. Tablet. My wife made a comment here a while back, and I felt the Lord begin to deal with me about that, and I thought, Brother Samuel, I wish I'd have made that one. I'd put it in my book of quotes. But it belongs to her. She said, historically, and this is rewording a little bit, but she said, there was a time when the folks would leave their TV and go shopping. They would leave their TV and go to church. They would leave their TV and go shopping, go to church, then leave it to go to work. But she said they don't leave that cell phone to go nowhere.
Come on now. Amen.
They don't leave it to go nowhere. Now, we don't want to throw too many stones at somebody with a TV. At least they leave it to go to work. At least they'll leave it to go shopping. I mean, you got as much danger getting run over in a shopping center as you do out on the highway with somebody texting while you're walking down the aisle. And so we consider that what's that got to do with awakened by silence? Because you see, we have become so involved with technology and so involved with everything that's around us until we've become accustomed to the noise. We've been accustomed to the lights on the screen. We've become accustomed to all of these wonderful things. And some things have become very profitable for us on our jobs, profitable to communicate. But yet, we fail to see how that the enemy likes to take simple things and make dangerous things out of them. I'll be honest with you tonight. I can't preach to somebody that's got a TV if I'm sitting watching YouTube 3 or 4 hours in a day. I can't talk to you about a TV if I spend as much time in front of a computer and not doing anything but just foolish things and taking up time. The thief of time is what the enemy is aiming to use in one form or one way or another to get the church distracted from the business at hand. Why cannot we hear the the voice of God like the old timers heard the voice of God. Because we got too much noise. There's a roar. There's a sound. There's something going on all the time. I love gospel music, but there comes a time to shut the CD player off, to cut it off, and let everything around me turn to silent so I can wake up and realize not just when I'm in church, but when I'm at the house, when I'm on the job, wherever I'm at, that I can realize that Jesus is coming back. I must be ready. I must be prepared. Somebody is dying around me and on their way to hell. God, help me to shut all the noise and everything off around me that I can hear Him. Because while all that noise is going, there's a knock at the door of my heart by the Spirit of God, and I cannot hear the knock. I cannot hear the knock. There's a cry at a distance saying, come to Macedonia. Come and help us. You think Paul could have heard that cry? You think he could have heard that in that dream he had or vision? If he'd have been preoccupied with technology of the day, if it had been then, if he'd have been preoccupied with everything going on in our community that's outside of the realm of the things of God, you think he could have heard that cry, come help me, if he's occupied with all the things that occupy us? I want to ask somebody in this house tonight to stop and think for just a little while. Am I able to hear God like I should be able to hear God? What is going on in my life that is stopping me from hearing God? When's the last time I had a time of silence with God? When's the last time somebody possibly in this house got down to pray and didn't have your cell phone handy in case somebody called, but rather put the thing in another room and put it on silent so it would not disturb you and would not hinder you? How many times have people knelt at an altar in our holiness churches and couldn't pray for looking at that phone to figure out who is sending me a text message? How many times have we been worshiping God and been bothered and interfered with because something is making a noise around us and we can't hear God because it's too noisy around us? Awakened by silence. Because it's so easy when I lay down at night and that roar's going. In other words, I want it. On Sundays, if I get a chance to get me about a 20-minute quick one, quick nap, I'll cut that fan on. It makes it so easy to pass out to nothing, nothing land. Hallelujah. But if it gets turned off, it wakes me up. I simply want to say, can you turn your fan off in spiritual terms tonight? Could you turn your fan off for a while? Can we turn whatever it is off that's creating a noise that's making us sleep? That's helping us sleep. Take away from ourselves personal discipline those things that hinder us from hearing the voice of God. Now our text said, and he said, and that now knowing the time, that now it is high time. It is high time to awake out of sleep. We've heard that terminology as children. I did. My mama tell me to do something, I'd act like I didn't want to do it. She'd say, it's high time you got to doing it, son. I knew what she meant. I mean, it's do or get done right now. it's high time that you started doing this. He said, knowing the time, knowing the hour that we're in, it is high time to awake out of sleep. Whatever's helping me sleep, I must personally do away with it. Put it off to the side so that I can wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I've found two schools of thought here, and I believe both of them will work. I believe the Lord would have us to look at both of them. One for certain is that Jesus Christ is coming, and it's high time to wake out of sleep, because the consummation of our salvation is nearer tonight than it's ever been. And somebody said, looking at this, he thought that he might be saying this, that it's high time to wake out of sleep. Our salvation is nearer, meaning we know more about what God has called us to do and what God expects out of us as born-again believers. We know more about that tonight than we've ever known before. I can tell you, at 42 years in the Lord, I know a lot more about what God expects than I knew 42 years ago. It's high time. If I've got any drowsiness about me, it's high time. If there's any slumber about me, to wake up, because I cannot plead ignorance now. I know what God expects. I know what God's Word says. I know what He's calling on my heart to do. I've got to wake up, cut that thing off that's causing me to rest in the spiritual realm. Cut it off. Cut it off. Make it silent so I can hear the voice of God.
Amen.
There's some folks like to talk extremely a lot.
You're right.
And I have felt like telling them, and I have told some sometimes, I said, listen, be quiet so I can talk. I'm not a big talker. And I just listen and listen and listen. I thought about the young man that died. I remember the last time I talked to him, I listened more than I talked. And I wondered, should I have talked more? But when the man's pouring his heart out and he's saying all the right things that he needs to do, I felt like all I need to say is, you're right. You're right. You're right. But you see, if you and I do not be quiet sometimes, God can't talk to us. You understand that I've learned in 42 years what prayer can really be in a profitable manner. And that's not to spend my entire hour, if I'm going to allot an hour for prayer, or be it 2 hours or whatever the time that I would discipline for that certain moment, that I don't spend the entirety of it doing all the talking. But I allot him time to respond to what I've said. And I allow him opportunity to respond, to talk to me, before I begin to talk to him. Because what he's got to say to me, I believe is going to be more important than what I've got to say to him. The depths of all of this scripture here, and this thought about the TV, and certainly, surely, I wouldn't have to preach on TV here tonight. But I don't know. God knows all about it. He knows what's hid behind the cabinet doors. And He knows who's made that computer a TV, and discreetly using it in the same fashion and form as somebody they're condemning for having a TV. And regardless of the piece of technology, whatever it is, be it a radio. Somebody said to me years ago, probably, my goodness, long time ago, yeah, you expect me to give up my TV, you give up your newspaper. Just forget trying to justify yourself. Try to position yourself to hear God.
come on here. We try to justify ourselves when reality is, if you know anything about the Word of God, there's no justification that's generated from an individual. It has to come from God. He's the one that does the justifying. When I try to justify myself, I'm going down a dead end road. So if something comes in my path, something comes over that pulpit, something comes in that Sunday school class that's coming against something I'm doing, forget trying to justify yourself. Listen to what it's saying and see where the good can come out of it in your life. Awake, because the night is far spent. The night is far spent. We're in the dark, dark hour of the night. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The sun's about to rise on the last day. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. He's not talking to the gamblers and the drunkards and the whoremongers. He's talking to the believers. Let us walk. Let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Well, Brother Morgan's come by and he's preached to us that we can't have a cell phone. We can't have an iPad. We can't have an iPod. We can't have a tablet. We can't have a computer. He's just old fashioned. No wonder he looks like he does. Old codger don't know where it's at. Did I say you couldn't have a computer? Did I say you couldn't have an iPad? I don't know what one is. You might not need to have one. Help me, Pastor. I said, turn the thing off. So you can hear God. Maybe when you hear God, it won't be so special to you anymore. It won't be so glorified to your hand like it used to be. Glory to God. I want to ask something tonight. Can I ask something tonight, Pastor? Praise the Lord. I don't want you to vote. I don't want to embarrass you. But how many brought your cell phone in the church tonight because you deathly had to have it in here? I mean, you had to have it in here because you was expecting a $1 million call any minute. I worried about this message a little bit. Because I mentioned some of these things the last time, giving reference to a message that the Lord had gave me, and I finally preached it up in Pennsylvania about cigarettes, drugs and all of that stuff, and addictions. But I want us to think. I'm here not to make you shout and not to make you rally around me, make me think I can preach, but I want to make you think tonight. I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to think tonight. Not just you, but us. I want to know something. Why would you bring the thing in the house of God if you wasn't expecting to use it here? Amen. Why didn't you leave it in your car? Because it's sticky. It's sticky. And we can laugh about it till the cows come home. But if we could just stop and think about it for just a moment. Lord, can I live without this? You certainly can. Well, what I do if somebody needs me? They'll do what they did 30 years ago when there wasn't such a thing. They'll rap on the door and say, we need you. simply talking about obstacles that we've created within our own selves. Things that are good in the proper place, but we've let them become obstacles in our path until God really doesn't speak to us because we're not listening to Him. Yes, I'm listening to Him, preacher. Unglue your hand. Oh, help me, Jesus. Whole time I preached here the other night in another state, in another month, some gal was texting the whole time I preached. And you thought, well, maybe she was looking up scriptures on it. Not the way she was looking and blushed when I made a comment that kind of went that way. And maybe if you got the scriptures on it, you might need to identify it so nobody will prejudge you. But I'm happy with what I got in my hand right here. Hallelujah. Because if the battery goes out, this still says what it's going to say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said if in any restaurant, if the lights go out, don't worry, there'll still be light in there. There'll be enough of them in there to illuminate the room. Oh, he's meddling. No, don't want you to think that I'm coming here with a sword in my hand about cell phones every time I come. Because I got to wonder when the Lord laid us on my heart. It seemed like I said something last time I was there. And I worried, you ever do things like that? I got to worry, Lord, I don't want the folks from here to tell their friends. Because listen, time we get through tonight, and I hope it's not before we get through, somebody in Virginia will know what Dennis Morgan preached. Shout amen if I'm telling you the truth. The night brother, I can't remember his name, but the night brother so-and-so resigned his church down in South Georgia. It was already published in Virginia and other states before people 5 miles away knew about it. How'd they know that? You figure. Yeah. And I don't want you to run around out. All Brother Morgan preaches is about cell phones and TVs. I want you to ask that pretty woman that lives with me, that's my wife, amen, if that's all I preach. And if you want to look at my notes, my titles and all, I'll show you it ain't all I preach. These prisoners, they have problem with cell phones too. They'll get more time for it. But what I'm wanting to say, what the Spirit of the Lord wants us to hear, is Him. Amen. Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about many things. We've been able to get our hands into many things that we used to could not get them into. And it's distracting us. Just want you to stop and think. Is it not distracting us? When the noise stops, the enormousness of silence speaks volumes to our hearts. Y'all listen to it real right here. Listen to silence. Certainly, if a small, still voice was to appear, you could hear it. But I want to do something right here. You might think it's foolish. But I want everybody in the house, when I snap my thumb after I count to three, I want you to give your name and birthday in an audible sound. That the person on the other end of the pew can hear it.
I want you to do that. One, two, three. Now, could anybody hear anything that really made a lot of good sense to you? Huh? You caught bits and pieces. I caught a Rufus Caraway, but I couldn't quite get the date because of all the mumbo jumbo out there. But now listen to silence. What did you say?
April 26th.
You heard it, didn't you? God wants to talk to the church of our hour. Church, He wants to talk to us.
You're right.
He wants to talk to us. Like I said, I like gospel music. I like to plug a CD in there and listen to it going down the road. But often I realize I'm missing something God's wanting to say. And I'll turn it off and I'll do that to my wife, and she knows that means.